Our next speaker will be Isabel Clark Fontenil, speak about the genesis of Luwan hieroglyphics.
The Hittite Empire, with its capital city Hattusa, dominated large areas of Anatolia and North Syria from the 17th to 12th century BC. The state archives preserve thousands of clay tablets which were inscribed with the cuneiform script and in several languages, chiefly the official language Hittite, further Akkadian, the lingua franca of the ancient Near East, and predominantly in cultic context, Hurrian. Further, cuneiform Luwian is documented at Hattusa, but confined to ritual texts. But the Hittites were people with double writing. They used the cuneiform script, which they borrowed, and a hieroglyphic script that they invented. First of all, the second script was used both for a different language, hieroglyphic Luwian, and for a different purpose, namely for writing monumental inscriptions on stone. With the exception of digraphic seals, the two scripts were never used together. The most elaborate of these seals, those of the Hittite kings, tended to combine the two scripts, hieroglyphic in the center and cuneiform in concentric circles round the outside. When the Hittites came in Anatolia, approximately at the end of the third millennium BC, they probably didn't know any script. They borrowed the cuneiform script used in Anatolia by the merchants of the Assyrian colonies. This one used an old Assyrian syllabary, but the Hittites don't seem to have made an important and constant use of their syllabary, which only transcribed the language of the Semitic merchants. The use of writing seems to have disappeared after the fall of the Assyrian colonies and during the troubled period following, around 1750 BC. We generally admit that the Hittites borrowed in a more recent period cuneiform script, which they used until the end of the empire, that is to say, until around 1190 BC. In parallel to this cuneiform script was created a hieroglyphic script called wrongly Hittite hieroglyphic by Sayce at the end of the 19th century. In fact, it quickly appeared that this hieroglyphic language was different from the cuneiform Hittite of Hattusa, as well by its grammar as by its vocabulary. It was early categorized in Indo-European language from Anatolia. In fact, this hieroglyphic script transcribed essentially Luwian language. The hieroglyphic script consists of over 500 signs, some with multiple values, which function as logogram, here, templum, Deus, Domus. Determinatives, here, Deus. Syllabograms, here, Repa. Logograms were usually written with phonetic complements, syllabograms representing the grammatical ending of the word with one or more syllables of the root. The more we go on, the more we notice a greater tendency towards phonetic rather than logographic spelling. The old inscriptions, reduced to cartouche, neglect the expression of the grammatical relations. Syntax hardly appears, or rather, it resides in the word order. The language of the majority of the hieroglyphic inscriptions is Luwian, an Indo-European language related to Hittite, first spoken in the southern Anatolia. A good knowledge of hieroglyphic has two major consequences. We measure today the perfect homogeneity of the Luwian language from 1500 to 700 BC, which had an important place beside the Hittite-Nezite of central Anatolia. We discover the importance of the use of Luwian on all the levels, fact unsuspected so far. Let us evoke the inscription Luwian here and Hittite here. Let us evoke the inscription of Nisantepe dedicated to the memory of his father, Tudhaliya IV. It's remarkable that the last Hittite great king established in Hattusa, namely Supiluliuma II, ordered the great inscriptions of the capital to be engraved in hieroglyphic Luwian script. These facts highlight the success of the Luwian language in the Hittite Empire, even in the capital at the end of the 13th century BC. During long periods, we have testimonies only on seals. The documents of the empire above all consisted in seals and inscriptions on stone towards the end of the empire. The hieroglyphic script was used for long epigraphs. However, we know that the hieroglyphic script was used on other supports and for other purposes. The recent discoveries let us think that there were inscriptions on perishable materials such as papyrus or leather and materials such as metal. These indicate clearly that the script did continue in use for everyday documents such as business letters and economic documents on lead strips. The script at this date may appear with the signs maintaining the character or in a linear rendering the sign forms in a cursive type with diminished pictorial content. Here, a letter from Assur. As the script was more frequently used than one could imagine. It is in use until about 1700 BC, when most new Hittite states lost their independence. In fact, the question of the hieroglyphic Luwian script still currently causes many discussions concerning, in particular, its origin, the zone and the date of its appearance. As far as its origin is concerned, if the majority of the researchers agree on the fact that hieroglyphic is a Hittite creation, some choose a foreign origin. Hawkins, for example, notices many analogies with the Aegean writings. Others turn to Egypt. Perhaps leaving aside the inevitable resemblances between two pictographic systems, some signs were borrowed from Egypt. For example, the croix en Ankh, or the winged sun, which means here royal majesty. In fact, the majority of the researchers think that the response to the problem of the origin is to be sought in the spot. However, the question remains, when have we got a writing system, strictly speaking? Here is a possible chronology. The first examples date back to the 17th century BC. But it seems that at that time, it's not an actual script, but a system of symbols used for communications of administrative or commercial nature. Moreover, the fact that during more than two centuries these signs are attested only on seals shows that they did not form an actual writing system of words, like the hieroglyphic script of the imperial age, but rather a code related to the need for the administrative and commercial recording. And it's only towards the end of the 15th century and at the beginning of the 14th century that we can locate the creation on the conventionally definite system like hieroglyphic. Clelia Mora notes that during this period, the writing would pass from a pre- or proto-scribal phase to a scribal phase. With the organization of the symbols partly already used on glyptic and partly new in a system connected with the cuneiform one, with a standardization of the values, with the extension of the use to other types of supports and inscriptions, and with the introduction of the fully syllabic written form for the names of the king. It's indeed only in the second half of the 13th century and at the beginning of the 12th century that the use of the hieroglyphic script for long inscriptions on rock or stone spreads, with introduction of the grammatical suffixes which make it possible to recognize the language in which the inscription is written. During this period, too, the use of the hieroglyphic script for non-official documents develops. The Hittite Empire disintegrated about 1200 BC, and the fall of its capital Hattusa brought an end not only to the central administration but also to cuneiform writing in the Hittite territories in Anatolia and North Syria. Several smaller centers of political power emerged. The so-called new Hittite states, in many ways, preserved the Hittites' legacy and cultural traditions. They used hieroglyphic Luwian as their sole writing system, causing the script to flourish. The hieroglyphic script is thought to have originated in the interaction between a communication system of administrative nature and the cuneiform writing. The hieroglyphic system contained potentialities the scribes had to become aware of and exploited by codifying it like an actual syllabic writing system for inscriptions of propaganda. So, there was on one side Luwians with their traditional inheritance of symbols organized in communication system, and on the other side the expert scribes and their ideographic syllabic cuneiform script. It's known that for the period which goes from the 15th to the first decades of the 14th century, cultural contacts other than military intensified between Luwians and Hittites. It's obviously difficult to reconstitute the process which brought to the formation of the graphic system in Anatolia. During the Old Kingdom, the signs which can be found on the seals, only testimonies we have, are not part of the hieroglyphic written system, but they are neither isolated or accidental signs. They concern rather a system of symbols. So, as I said before, will be recodified to make a true written system of it. The Rosetta is a very interesting example of this ambivalence and complexity of the size. Here. In a certain number of old seals, it does not seem to have any function, if not decorative. For example, on certain old seals, it's associated with other motifs, animals, or plants, to form the frieze of the external circle. But variation can be noted on the Tabarna seals of the old kingdom, as showed it Burger Klein. At the time of Aluwamna, the Rosetta is presented with 8 petals. Uzias II's Rosetta has only 6, but it is encircled by a toothed wheel. Zidantas II's and Muwatalli's Rosettas have the same double circle of petals, but the external circle of petals of Zidantas has 13 and Muwatalli's 12, etc. Obviously, as the author notes, the bureaucracy wanted to avoid any confusion and to be able to identify the date and the signed document at a single glance. This example shows that the Rosetta can be named according to what it represents, but allows the referenciation to a person by another means than the transcription of the name. It's no longer a picture, but not yet a sign of writing. This example shows that there is a common base between the formant of the writing and those of the decorative one. It's about a repertory of formants specific to a cultural area, a repertory from which each graphic designer or scribe draws to decorate, represent, or write. But as far as I'm concerned, the first signs of writing remained pictures, and at the same time, they imposed a function which had not been theirs until now. Here, referenciation with a person by another means that the transcription of the name. But it's not yet a true writing of words like the script of the imperial age, because any writing requires an analysis of the language. At all events, in the current state of our knowledge, the oldest seal revealing a script carrying the same values at the imperial hieroglyphic script is the seal of the queen Satatourepa, known thanks to the prince on tablets of Massatuyuk. The seal of this queen, established in Hattusa, would go back to the 15th century and would testify clearly to the recodification of the Anatolia signs mentioned above. Here, syllabic. Let us mention also the seal of Isputarsu found in Tars. Isputarsu was a king in the 16th or 15th century BC. This seal has been often regarded as the oldest Hittite hieroglyphic documents, but there are not actual syllabograms. Indeed, the name of the king, surrounded of the sign symbols for vita and bonus, is composed of the sign Deus Tonitrus, a god of the storm, surmounting the sign Rex. But a few seals tend to prove the existence of actual syllabograms since 1600, in any case, the 16th century BC. Which consequences can we draw from such a reconstruction? I will evoke 2 points, the question of the origin and that of the digraphia. The question of the origin. This idea of the origin of the graphic signs, idest in the form of an interaction between a system of symbols and a script already made up, is not specific to our case. Salem Shaker, studying the origin of the Berber script, puts the question sensitive, borrowing from the Phoenician or indigenous origin. Without entering in detail of the argumentation of the research, Shaker says that it's in the passage of all the practices of marking of the heads and decoration of art towards the alphabetical use that it's necessary to recognize not the borrowing of the script, but the influence of the Phoenician or Punic writing practices. Most probably, says Shaker, in contact with the Phoenicians' Punics, the Berbers had to engage in the refunctionalization of an old stock of pre-existent signs of which they made a national alphabet. This parallel is certainly not a justification of our Louvian case, but it is noted that often to similar problems, extremely different cultures bring similar answers. Therefore, if this assumption is admitted, we can conclude that the script, Louvian script, has an indigenous origin. Then, how to explain the relations which obviously exist with the Cretan script in particular? The evolution of Louvian hieroglyphic seems parallel to that of the Cretan script. In Crete also, the script appears initially at the beginning of the second millennium on seals in a hieroglyphic form. Then it develops in a linear form A and B on clay tablets. The original appearance of both scripts on seals is doubtless significant, suggesting an early use, if not an origin, in writing personal names. Anatolian, however, went out to develop the practices of writing long, monumental stone inscriptions late in the empire period, something which Minoan Mycenaeans did not. Another point is that Anatolian hieroglyphic is much closer typological. Another fact pointing to Louvian origin of this Anatolian hieroglyphic is a much closer typological similarity which it exhibits in relation to the Aegean scripts than to cuneiform. In internal characteristics, too, the Cretan and Anatolian scripts are much closer to each other than either are to cuneiform. Such Aegean links of the Anatolian hieroglyphic script strongly indicate a West Anatolian origin rather than a Central Eastern Anatolia one, where the influence of the cuneiform script had been felt since the beginning of the second millennium BC. Western Anatolia was Louvian territory, and it is these people who would have been in the position to absorb Mediterranean and Aegean cultural influences, including a knowledge of writing which led them to devise a script of their own. We may conclude that such concrete indications are combined with the historical and cultural probabilities to suggest a Louvian origin of the Anatolia hieroglyphic script. It's obviously the geographical and political position of the Louvians which make it possible to understand their connection at the same time with the Aegean world and the Hittite world. Hawkins perfectly highlighted the situation. He says, the Luwians occupy a place of interest second only to that of the Hittites. So they are much less well known, certainly during the period of Hittite hegemony. There were clearly a widespread people occupying western and southern Anatolia, while the Hittites occupied the central area within the bend of the Halys River. At the height of their political power, circa 1400 BC, they formed a powerful federation, the Kingdom of Arzawa, a formidable rival to the Hittite state. Even when this was broken up by the Hittite King Mursili II, they never ceased to cause political trouble to the Hittites. Occupying as they did the coastal regions of Anatolia, they seem to have been seafarers, unlike the landlocked Hittites, and it's clear that they stood geographically and culturally between the Hittites and the contemporary Minoan Mycenaean civilization of the Aegean. As several researchers estimate, while admitting the possible borrowing of certain sites outside the Anatolian world, it's undoubtedly within the Luwian world that took place the recodification from the cuneiform system, in fact, the fixing of the phonetic value of the syllabograms. An argument of the philological nature in favor of the installation of fixed syllabographic values by the Luwians lies in the fact that, taking account of the acrophonic principle proposed by Laroche, the phonetic values of several signs are explained in a satisfactory way starting from the Luwian. Here are some examples. In conclusion, the second point, namely the question of the digraphia. It's an established fact that during at least three centuries, the hieroglyphic script lived in Anatolia beside the cuneiform one and constituted with him the double means of expression of the Hittite state. If one regards them as the whole and not as two independent entities, one realizes that not only there is not superposition, but that there is complementarity. One is important, the other is indigenous. The support is different. The cuneiform script is used on clay tablets, the hieroglyphic one for a great part on rock faces. Their finality is different. One was used by the scribes for the official archives, palaces, temples, with the aim of storing, of recording, and of memorizing information. The other was primarily shown outside on rock faces to act permanently on crowds. One would be international, the other national. Why the specialization? The scribes of Hattusa, agents of the Babylonian tradition, formed...
Sorry, you have two more minutes.
Sorry, 2 minutes. The scribes of Hattusa formed a small privileged group which only had access to the literature and the documents on clay. It's truly about an elite, so much so that certain scribes were holders of the largest titles. But the tablet was, all in all, an inaccessible, prohibited document, which, as said Laroche, publicly didn't proclaim the sublimity of the god nor royal majesty. There was undoubtedly for the Hittites the feeling that these borrowed cuneiforms with a mechanical and inexpressive layout where to leave room to another script more visual, more monumental, more suited to make the divine effigies and the royal profiles speak. The hieroglyphs are shown, contemplated on rock faces and in a certain manner accessible to everyone. One can say that the Hittites were aware that the writing is primarily public means of communication. Since the invention of a readable system, the glyphs are more suggestive than the cuneiform signs visible by the use of the hieroglyphs outside on rock faces and durable the rock in opposition to clay. But the hieroglyphic script was not only a public means of communication, it was a political act as well as the cuneiform text of the archives, but with completely different processes. Thank you.
Time for one or two questions.
You didn't mention the Dubsa Gish, the wood scribes. What do you think they were writing in? You didn't mention the Dubsa Gish, the scribes who wrote on wood. What do you think?
I have mentioned.
You did mention?
Un deuxième système.